You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So I don't know if you've ever been at like Prime Group or something, and somebody asks a question, you kind of hit those long, awkward moments of silence. We usually like to avoid them here in the morning, but honestly, I don't know what's going on, so I apologize for that.
Hey, Kirk. Kirk?
Oh.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, it's all right. I was kind of hungry, so I'm hanging out in the nursery to chew on some Cheerios.
Oh,
so, okay. So you can just have a seat. We're all good here.
All right.
If you're hungry, you've got rocking chairs in the nursery, you've got Cheerios. I'm sure there's all sorts of snacks that you can be a part of. So I can't hear you if you're responding to me because I'm just hanging out with the kids. So,
okay.
Yeah. So how are you doing? Baby. Oh, yeah, we got a baby here. What am I doing in here? Yeah.
Are you a monster?
Am I
a monster?
Yes. Yes, I'm a monster. See, thank you all, MC3.
Yay.
Now you know. The truth comes out. Yeah? Oh, yeah? How are you? So, are all of these kids walking?
Yeah?
All right, that's cool. That's really cool. And I don't know, MC3, if you know this, but there's this really cool sign on the bulletin board here. It says, it's not babysitting, it's a foundation. And I love what these ladies in here are doing. It's not just babysitting. They're actually showing these kids what it's like to be cared for. Not that their parents don't do that, but just giving that foundation of what it means to come to church and be cared for and have someone love them and just carry them and read to them and watch movies with them. But one of the things that I saw as I'm in here looking is watching these kids walk around. Thank you, ladies. And when I watch them walk around, it's really cool. I don't know if you've ever watched kids walk, especially new kids learning how to walk and what that's all about. But it's a fun little thing because they kind of toddle around, right? That's why we call them toddlers. And as they walk, they kind of do that little thing, you know, where they come forward and do this dealy. And it's cool because it's a big first step for them, right? Let me turn the lights on here. It's a big step for them. And I've watched all four of my children learn to walk. And I remember just that process. And if you're a parent or an uncle or a grandparent and were around when the kids started walking, excuse me, there's some snow here. if you were around when that happened, you know, you saw that moment where you see their brain is engaging and their brain says, you know what? I want to walk. I want to take that step. I want to move forward. But their body isn't quite ready. They're kind of scared. And of course, they start climbing up on things. And then you say, come on. Come on, you can do it. You know, daddy's got you. It's okay. You'll be fine. But as a baby, they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be fine. They don't say that. If they do, that's weird. Or cool. So one or the other. but they kind of have this, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to be fine. And what do they do? Maybe they take one step and they fall down. And that's why they wear diapers. You know, just to cushion the fall. And that's why, that's part of my logic as a father, you know, why it's good not to change their diaper, right? Because the more padding in there, the better it is. So, hey, we'll let it go for as long as possible till mom comes home. Okay, but you know how that is, right? You've watched and then eventually say, no, get up, you can do it. And then they maybe will, no, they don't want to do it, and they're done for the day. But then maybe the next day they'll kind of get up and they'll have this, you know, you kind of coax them, you can do this, you can do this. And they take that first step and then they take that other one. And after a few steps, they start to realize that they can do this. And they start to realize, you know what, mom, dad, uncle, grandma, they were right. It's okay. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to fall apart. I can do this. And I think that the way a baby learns to walk is the way many of us fail to walk, if you will, when it comes to following Jesus. When it comes to doing what we know we should do, we stand on the side going, no, I don't think so. I don't think I can do this. This could hurt. I could fall down and go boom. And we don't step out, even though Jesus is there saying, it's okay. You can do this. You can do this. It's all right. Come on. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I've got you in this. But it's that first step that's so hard. That first step, as they say, you know, Bugs Bunny used to say, the first step is a doozy. But that was because he was about to fall off a cliff. I wouldn't recommend walking off of a cliff because that is a problem. But that first step in kicking that thing is hard. And as we follow Jesus, as we go in and do the things that he has called us to do, I mean, aren't we there? And we're hanging on because we're afraid. Because we don't have the courage to take that step, the courage to kind of move forward. And I want you to understand that what I'm talking about this morning as we wrap up the breadcrumb series, I'm not talking about the courage to kind of stand in the middle of chaos or anything like that. I'm talking about those moments when we know what we're supposed to do. You know, yes, this is something I need to do. This is a change I need to make. This is a step metaphorically that I need to take, but we're unwilling to do it because we're afraid. And we know that this is what God has called us to do. So that's, I want to look at this idea of finding courage as we wrap this up. And the point that I want you to get this week is that faith is the way back to courage. Faith is the way back to courage. That if we are going to have the courage to do what God has called us to do, that it's going to require faith. Now, on a shallow, simple level, you know, especially like maybe this is your first time ever in a church, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're talking about faith, of course. Or maybe you've gone to church all your life. Well, of course, faith is the way back to courage. Faith is the way that you do things. But I want you to get that there's stuff about this that we know here, just like the baby knows. But when it comes to doing it, that first step is a killer. That first step is hard, and the response to that fear needs to be faith. Because when we demonstrate faith, when we have faith, and I'll explain what that means in a little bit here, but when we have that, we will have the courage to do what it is that Jesus is calling us to do. We will have the courage to go or do or be or say or whatever what God is calling us to do. But it comes back to faith. It comes back to that step. So we're wrapping up the series today, as I said. And these last 2 months, we've been talking about finding our way back. And each week has kind of been its own little vignette segment of perhaps a way that you have wandered, that we have wandered away from what God has called us to be. And it's time to go back. It's time to find our way back onto that path, following the direction that God has set out for us. And I said this over and over, and this will be the last time I say it because we're done with the series, so you're done with me hearing me say it. But, you know, we don't do this on purpose most of the time. Usually it's just a drifting. It's an aimless kind of accidental thing, and suddenly there's God's path, and we're way over here. We're way off. And this series is about just taking those steps to find your way back. What does it look like? And we're going to kind of wrap up the entire series at the end of this morning, so we'll review everything. So I got a lot to pack in this morning. So I might be going a little bit faster than normal, but that's okay. But I want to talk about this idea of faith kind of as we wrap this up, the faith coming back the way the courage. And I want you to understand as we get into this week and looking at what we're talking about today, kind of thinking back to the entire series, into the last 2 months, January and February, because maybe there was something in one of those weeks where you're like, yeah, that's something I need to do. That's something I need to change to get back to where God has me, where God wants me. And maybe you even put one of the cards back there, and here's my decision. Here's what I'm going to do next. Here's how I'm going to do it. And maybe you haven't followed through on that because you're afraid, because we're worried about the what ifs. We're worried about the what might happen next. And so we, thank you very much, sir. And so we hold back. And so I want to kind of use this week to kind of bring it all together. Bring it all back to the different things that we've talked about. And we're going to be looking in Mark chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, a paper Bible, we're going to turn the lights on so you can look at the paper Bible. If you have the YouVersion app, you can open YouVersion, tap on New Testament, tap on Mark. And we're going to be on chapter 4 of that. By the way, if you don't have YouVersion, I'd encourage you to get it. I'll tell you more about it next week. But over the next series we're doing, spoiler alert, we're going to actually have a Bible study, a YouVersion Bible plan that we're going to do together as a church. So you can kind of jump in on that. But we're in Mark chapter 4, and if you grew up in church, you have probably heard this story. And depending on how old you are, or where you went to church, if you went to some strange place that didn't have flannel graph. But you might have seen flannel graphs of this story. I remember flannel graph. Some of you don't know what it is. Ask Justin, because he doesn't have a clue either. But you might have heard the story in flannel graph. It's kind of a popular, I don't know what you call it. It's just one of those stories you learn in church. So if you haven't grown up in church, if you don't know the story, cool, I'm going to teach you, and I'm not going to use flannel. So that's all good. It's a win-win. So it starts in verse 35. It says, that day, Mark is writing this, kind of his description, that day when evening came, he, and we're talking about Jesus here, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, they being the disciples. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves jumped over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And going on, he says, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind calmed down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So the first part of this passage, I want you to understand that there is a story here. There is a vignette, a story of what is going on. And of course, Jesus calming the storm is what you might have heard it described as. And here you've got Jesus with his disciples kind of overcoming this moment of great fear. They were afraid. And so we're going to kind of break this down and look at it piece by piece and see exactly what was going on. The first thing we see here is that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke. And when you look at this passage in Mark here, you see that there's some steps that these disciples had to take. And it started with Jesus speaking. Jesus gave them instructions. Jesus gave them a command. They knew what they had to do. There was no question. And that's what he says in verse 35 and 36. He says, that day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So there was no ambiguity here. There was nothing that was unclear. It was obvious that Jesus says, we are here on this side of the Sea of Galilee, and we are going to go to the other side. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is around 8 miles across. And he says, let's go to the other side. So there's no question. It says then they left the crowd behind. They took Jesus along as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with them. So Jesus gave them instruction to go to the other side. And I want you to understand that there wasn't anything in their mind. They're like, what does Jesus mean? They didn't say it like that because they spoke Hebrew, or Aramaic. But they there was no question. There wasn't what are we supposed to do here? It was clear. Jesus told them what to do. And as we talk about this idea of faith being the way back to courage, of being willing and being able to take the steps that we need to, I want you to get that I'm not talking about that what if, or where is God directing me, or I'm not sure about that situation. Those are real issues. Those are real questions, but they're going to be for another day. Today, I want to talk about those things that we know we should be doing. And all of us have those things. We have those issues where we're like, yeah, that's something I really need to do, but I'm afraid. But I don't want to take those steps. But I don't want to walk forward. And so I want you to understand that in this situation, the disciples knew exactly what Jesus told them to do. And I ask you, has God clearly told you something that you need to do? Most likely from his word. His word is full of direction and commands and instruction and encouragement in terms of how to stay along the path that God has chosen for us. And so maybe there's something that you know that God has told you need to do. Through his word, maybe his Holy Spirit has confirmed that to you. And I'm not talking about weird, wrong things. Like God isn't telling you to go, I don't know, blow up a building or something like that. I'm talking about for real stuff, like the nitty-gritty, the everyday. You know, what is something that God has told you to do? Because Jesus spoke to the disciples, and Jesus has spoken to us. He has told us what we need to be doing. So, Understand that. That's the foundation. That they knew what Jesus was saying. He spoke. But the second part of this was that they feared. They knew what they were supposed to do. Their job was boat from point A to point B, this side to that side. And it's, I'm not a great fisherman. I am a great fisherman. Okay, I'll just say I am. But, unlike some of you that don't know anything about fishing, I'll just pretend to be like you. So I don't know what it's like to get a boat from one side to the other. I'm sure if there's a sail involved, it involves sailing. I'm pretty sure they didn't have a motor. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that Jesus' disciples did not have a motor on their boat, inboard or outboard. Not really sure what that means, but it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. So I'm pretty sure they didn't have that. So in my mind, but even still, it's probably not that hard to get from point A to point B. They need to cross the other side. There weren't any questions about what they needed to do. But in the process of doing what Jesus told them to do, they became afraid. And that's what we see here in the next part of the verse. It says that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I need you to understand a few things. There's a Greek word here for furious, and it's a cool word. And I just wanted to teach you a Greek word that you probably already know and you don't know that you know. But the New Testament was written. This book was written in Greek because that's the language they spoke, or at least they wrote at the time. And the word furious, the Greek word is mega. Mega. We know what mega means. Mega means huge, big, mega store, mega movie, mega prize pack. You know, like mega means gigantic. And so this word is a mega storm. And there's the thing here we're talking about, this word storm, squall, whatever. It's like hurricane. It's not like it rained a little bit. They got their hair wet. No, this is, we're talking about a violent, a mega, and that's the word, two words here, mega hurricane combined together. This was a serious, serious storm. And I want you to know that historically the Sea of Galilee is known to this day for the way, because of the shape of the valley and the dynamics of the topography and the geography and the geology and the geometry. Sound like what I'm talking about. But because of all of that, storms are known to literally just come in an instant violently. And so here they are, and they're in this boat trying to do what Jesus told them to do, and a huge storm, a furious squall came up out of nowhere. It was like an instant thing. Boom. And this is, again, this is a normal thing. And so the boat was so bad, the waves are breaking over, the boat is about to go under. It's about to go down. Now, understand a couple things about this boat, too. If all of the disciples and Jesus were on it, it is probably a pretty sizable boat, at least for the time. I mean, it's not a canoe. It's not a kayak. You know, this is a sizable boat to the point where Jesus could be in the stern, which is the front of the boat, back, boat people. Front. I knew it was the front. I was just testing you. I thought it was. But he's in the stern of the boat. He's in the front of the boat, and he's asleep. And I love how Mark describes it, too. Like, can you just picture this in your mind here? There is a mega hurricane, a huge storm sweeping over. The boat is about to go down. Jesus is asleep on a cushion. Like, it just, the contrast is so stark. I love it. It's not like Jesus is like, hey, guys, can you quiet down? I'm trying to sleep here. No, he is out. On a cushion, fully man, fully God. So there's some cool things going on there too. But so he is asleep on this cushion, and the disciples then they go to him, waking him, and say, "Jesus, teacher, rabbi, don't you care if we drown?" Fun technology today. Says, "Don't you care if we drown?" They were afraid to the point where Jesus is asleep. He must not know what's going on. We need to wake him and tell him, hey, Jesus, we're going to drown now. Don't you care? You're just asleep on your cushion? They were afraid. Jesus said, get from here to there. And they're in the process, they're like, no, wait a second. We're going to drown. Jesus, don't even care. And my question is, have you known that God has told you to do something and you get to that point and you either start to do it or you're afraid because there are storms raging everywhere? And what is our question? Jesus, do you even care? I'm trying to do what you told me to do. You're just asleep on a cushion. At least that's how we perceive it. But understand that in this process, these first steps, this idea of faith, they messed up because they were told what to do and they could have kept going. And again, I'm not saying that I would have been any better than them. I would have been in the same situation. Somebody would have waked the Son of God up. Like, we're drowning here. Maybe he could do something. I mean, I know he parted Red Seas and stuff like that. Like, help us out, brother. You know, but maybe, you know, there's that situation where I probably would have done the same thing. But the fact, you know, just from a totally mental, removing emotion and fear away from it, okay, if Jesus is asleep, maybe I don't need to worry about this. But we don't, right? We are afraid. God tells us to do something. We're like, I know this is what he's told us to do, but I don't think I can do it. The waves are too big. The ridicule will be too much. The relationships that I developed, I might lose. But that was a problem, as we'll see in a little bit here. Jesus spoke, no question what they were supposed to do, but they were afraid. Then, and I love this, it's such a cool passage, and you know it, again, the flannel grass probably didn't do it justice. Because the third thing we see here is that Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus proved himself. He didn't have to. But this is what's so cool. They're waking Jesus up. Don't you care if we're going to drown? It seems like you're not even interested in what's going on here. You told us to do something, and now it seems like it's not going to work. How are we going to do this? We're afraid. And so Jesus then, in verse 39, gets up. It says he got up and rebuked the wind. And the word for rebuked here is, it is not a nice word. It is a mean, harsh word. The Greek word is epitamao, in case you really care. But it means to chide, to rebuke. It's abrupt, curt, and biting. If someone said that to you, you would be offended. If they spoke to you the way Jesus spoke to this wave, to this storm, you would be hurt. You'd be like, what'd I do to you? And that is the way Jesus did it. It was so there's no question. And he says, quiet, be still, shut up, stop. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to be crass. Like, that's the feel of these words. So there's a huge storm. You're in the middle of a mega hurricane. This is taking you over. Your boat is going down. Jesus is asleep. He stands up, yells, and says, shut up! Stop! And then the wind died down. And it was kind of calm. There was a little bit of a rustling. The guys still had a hole in their hats, but they weren't going down. No, it was completely calm. It was totally, completely calm. And the word completely here, it's a Greek word that you already know. It's mega. So it goes from mega storm. Jesus finally stands up and says, quiet. And it is mega calm. So there is no question in the mind of the disciples, was that him or was that an accident? Like, Jesus calmed the storm. And in that moment, and it's this cool thing, like, right? You're in that situation. Your hair is all messed up if you have it. The wind is blowing. You're worried about going down. You're worried about drowning, by the way, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, 8 miles out. You're not swimming back if you're, 4 miles out. It's not going to happen. So there's some serious fear involved. And suddenly Jesus stands up and says, quiet, be calm. And instantly, it is calm. So there's a moment there where you're probably, if you're a disciple, going, wow, what was I afraid of? Because Jesus is clearly, not accidentally, not somewhat, not mostly, he is completely in control of the storm as these disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. There is no hesitation. There is no maybe. Jesus stood up and proved, hey guys, you are afraid. You're waking me up. You're afraid. But I want you to know that I am in control of this situation, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you think it or not. I am in control. And so he said, quiet. And instantly it was completely mega calm. So the question is, what about us? We're in a hard situation. We're going through. We know that God has called us to step out, but we're afraid. We're afraid. Do you believe that God is in control? Because knowing, I think, is a little bit different than believing. And this isn't like scientific or theological, but I think we know things, but believing kind of takes a little bit more. There's kind of this, yeah, I believe it enough that I'm going to do something about it. And I want you to understand that if God has called you to do something, if there is a change you need to make, a step you need to take, and you're afraid, Jesus is in control of that situation. You are not on your own. He is not asleep on the cushion forgetting your situation. He is with you and in control of the whole thing. So if you are called to do something, you don't need to be afraid. I'm getting ahead of myself. Because Jesus is in control. So the fourth part of this little equation here, these first steps, Jesus spoke, they feared, Jesus proved, and then they failed. The whole story, the scenario plays out, it's over. They were told to do something, they were afraid because the storms came up, they cried out, oh God, help us, Jesus, why? Wake up, don't you care? He says, no, I'm in control the whole time. And then comes that moment, that like, you know that moment you probably had as a kid, maybe you've had as an adult with a coworker or a boss, or maybe a brother or sister in Christ has kind of confronted you on something, and there's that like, yeah. And that's what happened to the disciples here. They failed. Jesus says to them, after he quiets it down, after it is mega calm, he says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then they were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Like, it's one thing for him to do some of his miracling that he was doing up until now. But now we're talking about a mega storm that he makes mega calm. And Jesus points out to them that you missed it. You had an opportunity for faith here, but you were afraid. Because Jesus sees that faith and fear are somehow connected, are linked. And it seems that the more we fear, the less we have faith. And the more faith we have, the less we have to fear. And so then that question goes back to us too. Has God called you to do something and you're afraid? What is your response going to be? Because he's in control of it. Are you going to fail? Or are you going to have faith? And as I said, faith is that knowing that we can take that step because we're not alone. We're not on our own. Jesus says, I am here for you. I've got this. I am in control. Whatever you think you're worried about, don't think that it missed me, that it was an accident, that it slipped by, because Jesus is totally, completely in control. And so that's when it comes to us. Where are we? Where are you? Those first steps are the hardest. If God has called you to do something, and I don't mean, and I don't want to say this in a bad way, but I'm not just talking like generic, like, yes, I need to follow Jesus more. No, I'm not talking about following Jesus more. I mean, that's good. But I mean you specifically right now. Is there something that needs to change at work? And you know God has said you need to do something about that, but you're going, oh, I don't know. Could cost me my job. That's where faith needs to come in. Are you going to fear? Are you going to have faith? Which is it? Fear or faith? Because Jesus seems to equate fear with failure. So, when it comes to that first step, Jesus spoke. They feared. Jesus proved they failed. Where are you? Jesus has spoken. Are you going to do it? Are you going to fear? Because he's going to prove that he is in control no matter what. And what is our reaction going to be? Are we going to fail or are we going to have faith? So, the point being that faith is the way back to courage. If you feel like there's something that you need to do and you can't do it, I can't give you the answer. I can't give you the solution. I can't give you the steps that will make it happen, but I can tell you to have faith. If God has clearly spoken to you to do something. So understand that. This isn't just a generic made up like, oh, I don't know. I'm saying that the disciples were told to cross to the other side. It was clear. If you're not sure whether God is leading you to do something, then again, that's a different discussion. I'd be glad we could talk about that. We can search Scripture. We can pray together about it. But if God has said, you need to do this, the only way you're going to get over that fear is through faith. That's the only way. So let me tell you a few things about faith. Faith facts, if you will. Faith facts. And I, some of these are just clearly, obvious to you. Some of these might be new to you. Some of these might be like, yeah, that's right. Maybe reminders. But I, just some different things that we see throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible, about faith. So the first thing I want you to understand something about faith, and this is probably the hardest because we're stinking human. Because we want to know the end. We want to know, okay, what's in it for me? How is it going to turn out before we do it? We like contracts. We like agreements. We like to know, okay, if this, then that. But faith doesn't work that way because faith is unknown. By its very nature, if you know the end and what's going to happen, it doesn't require faith. That's just grammatical or etymology or, there's another word here, syntax or something fancy about words. But that's what the word means. That's the definition of it. Faith, if you can see it, it's not faith. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:1. He says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance. Now, those are all good, right? We want confidence. Yeah, the best is going to happen. I want to be assured about things we cannot see. Ah. Kind of lost me there. I want to know. I want to see. I want it to be proven before I will do it. But Jesus says to his disciples, you have so little faith. He didn't say, we're going to get to the other side, there's going to a storm come up, and then it'll be lasting for about 10 minutes, but don't worry, you're not going to go under, I've got you, and then it'll be good, and we'll go on. And over there we'll have find some fish, and it'll all be good there too. We know the story, but the disciples didn't. Jesus said, go to the other side. It was unknown, and it required faith. And so for us, and you're going to have a chance to discuss this a little bit more with your prime groups this last week, this coming week. We don't want it to be this way. We want to have faith about things we are confident about, certain about, that we know all the details about. But again, that's where it becomes unfaith. That's a word. Faith is unknown. The second thing about faith is that faith is crazy. So if you're looking for a calm, normal, simple way to follow Jesus, you picked the wrong person to follow. Because faith is crazy. It's nuts. It doesn't make sense. I'm not saying you're crazy or you're weird or you're goofy. You know, it's okay to wear deodorant. It's okay to smile at people and to have normal conversations. That's all good. But I'm saying the act of faith is crazy because for you, for me, to step out not knowing, trusting in God who is unseen, going into something that is unseen, that's kind of crazy. Especially if you know, again, you're the toddler hanging on for dear life knowing that I've been told to take that step. But I might fall. But I might lose. But I might get hurt. And to take that step knowing that that might happen is crazy. Here's a passage in Joshua chapter 3. And it's a cool story. I don't have time. I talked about it a couple years ago, I think. Taught the whole thing. But basically, the Israelites, God's chosen people, had just finished wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God had led them out of Egypt by miracles and some really cool stuff. And it's time to go into the land that God had promised them. And in order to do that, Joshua, who is now the leader, Moses is dead. Joshua is the leader of these people. And they're getting ready to go into this promised land. And it's on the other side of the Jordan River. The problem was that it was the harvest season. And the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Other translations say that the Jordan was at flood stage. We're talking about a serious current running down. It is over its banks. If you have looked out at any of the rivers over these last few weeks, especially the other night, I mean, it was really crazy. Or, you know, some of the big floods when Hurricane Ivan came through. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about raging, murky waters. They needed to cross this to get into the Jordan River. And God had told the priests, the leaders, the worship leaders, essentially, of the Israelites, He said, I want you to go and step in. And I will provide a way through. That's all he said. There were no specific instructions about how it was going to happen or when it was going to happen. And it didn't happen, and we'll see this in a second here, it didn't happen before they stepped in. Because they were about to do something that was crazy. God said, step into this raging, flooding river, and I'm going to provide a way for you to cross. We, going back to the previous thing about faith being unknown, we would rather God say, look, at about 10:37, the rivers are going to stop. By about 10:50, you should be clear to go. You've got about a couple hours, and then the river will start coming back. But that's not the way faith works. Faith says go. And so that is what happened. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark, it's the ark of God's commandments, touched the water at the river's edge, as soon as they touched it, not a moment before, but as soon as they touched the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan, and the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. And all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. That is crazy. And if God has called you to do something that you know He needs to do and you're afraid and people are like, that's crazy, why would you ever do that? You might be in the right place. You might be doing the right thing if people are calling your step of faith crazy. Because faith is crazy. Because knowing that we're going to go into something that looks pretty awful, but we know that God has called us to do it, is faith. And faith is crazy. Third faith fact for you is that faith is bold. Faith is bold. By its nature, you're stepping into something. You're doing something that's unknown, that's unheard of, that's crazy, that's kind of wild. It's going to take some guts. It's going to take you having some, we'll just say guts, to do it. Because it's bold. True faith is bold. In Matthew chapter 14, again, this is probably the other story you learned on the flannel graph, if you grew up in church. Jesus is coming across. They're on the Sea of Galilee. A lot of things happening about on the Sea of Galilee. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is walking on the water to them at night. Like, it wasn't during the daytime, too. That's the one thing your flannel graph could never do back when you were little. It was night. And you're in the boat, out in the middle of nowhere. Not nowhere, but in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's not like, you know, you're right near a bunch of stuff. And here comes someone walking to you on water. They were scared at first, and then they realized it was Jesus. Peter, and I want you to understand something. This passage, like, there's a lot of things we can learn from it. But before we give Peter a bad rap about what he didn't do, let's just take a moment to look at what he did do. Because he says, okay, Jesus, if that is you, Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And again, we give Peter a hard time for what he's about to do next. But are we bold enough to say, okay, I'm going to do something that's impossible. But if you are the one coming to me, if Jesus, you are the one calling me to do it, I can do it, even though it might seem possible. That is guts. That is boldness. And then what did Jesus say? What, you Peter? You're not the Son of God. Sit down and shut up. He says, yes, come. Okay, so it's one thing to say, now Peter, I don't know what he's doing. He might be like, oh, crap. I didn't think he'd say yes. But so then Peter, being bold, went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. And of course, now this is the part of the story where we get into it and start beating up on Peter. And yeah, he failed. But he was bold enough to say, Jesus, if that's you, if you're the one telling me to do it, I can do the impossible. I want you to call me out there. I'm going to walk on this water. And of course, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink and said, save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. Now, again, this is where we give Peter a hard time, but he had a lot of faith, and Jesus said, you could have had more. You have little. When we look at it from his perspective going, that was a lot. Jesus says, no, you have a little bit of faith. Imagine what you could do with more faith. Why did you doubt me? That is boldness. That is guts. And faith takes guts. Faith is bold. If God has called you to do something, you don't know what's going to happen. It might seem crazy. And in order to overcome that, you're just going to have to go and step out. You're going to have to take that first step, letting go of the edge of the couch, trusting that your legs and your feet have grown to the point where you can toddle, where you can walk. The fourth thing about faith is that faith is fearless. Faith is fearless. And this is sort of like the last one, but faith, see, boldness says, I'm going to go out and just do this because I feel like I can accomplish it. God wants me to do this. Faith is also fearless because when we do it, we might be stepping into something knowing that it's going to hurt. We might be going into something that is going to be painful. And I remember hearing a speaker talk about this years ago. You know, when we talk about Moses and how great what he did and leading the people through the wilderness and all that. But if you take the time to look at what Moses did from a leader's perspective, that was the worst job ever. Not what he did, but what is he doing? He was leading people to spend 40 years wandering in a desert, and all they ever did was complain. Oh, and then when you get to the end of the prize, you're going to die. That's rough. Now, granted, he died because of his sin, and there was a whole lot more to that, but don't miss it, that was kind of a rough job description for Moses. And so when it comes to this idea of faith and being fearless, sometimes we need to go into something like Moses might have had. You're going to go into this, Moses, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be awful, and you're not even going to see the reward. But do it anyway. In Hebrews 11, speaking of Moses, I didn't actually really hadn't meant to tie those two together. But in Hebrews 11:23, the writer writes about this. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. And if you remember the story of Moses, there was an edict. Well, it says right there. For 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The Pharaoh had said, look, all the kids are going to be killed. We need to kill all the kids, and there's a long story about that and why the Hebrews were growing too big and too numerous for the Egyptians at the time. But they hit him, and it says they did it by faith because they weren't afraid of the consequences. It doesn't say because they knew that miraculously the rivers would come to the daughter of Pharaoh and she would pick him up and raise him as her own, and then he would miraculously lead them through 10 plagues and then come to the Red Sea and cross that miraculously and then speak to God at the top of the mountain. They didn't know any of that. All they knew was that if we hide our kid, we might die. And they did it anyway by faith. Faith is fearless. Doesn't mean if God has called us to do things, God, nowhere does God promise ease and comfort. At least this side of heaven. Sometimes we step into things that are going to be hard, but faith is fearless. And we need to understand that God is in control, that God has got our back, that God says, you can do this. Come on, take those steps. So faith is unknown, faith is crazy, faith is bold, and finally, faith is necessary. And this is just kind of a little different, a little take on maybe what you were thinking or what you've heard, but we need to have faith. Faith is a big deal. James talks about this. If we know what we're supposed to do, we know that God is calling us to step out. We know that we need to take that step, but we're afraid and we're clinging. James says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Just want to throw that in there, just not as a jab, not as a guilt trip, but to understand that failing to act when God has told us to do something, even if we are afraid, becomes sin. So if God has called you to do something, if God has called you to step out, to make a decision, to make a change, then we need to do it, not only because He's got it under control, because He's with us, because we can trust Him and rely on Him. He has proven Himself before, but also because failure to do what God has told us to do is sin. And I think, and I, for the most part, we don't want to sin against God, not at least intentionally. And I just want you to understand that failing to do what God has called you to do, when you know that that's what he has told you to do, it's sin. So there's some facts about faith. It's unknown, it's crazy, it's bold, it's fearless, and it's necessary in order to become who God wants you to be. So the point being that faith is the way back to courage. If you know God has called you to do something, I can't give you the answer because it's unknown. And I can't tell you it's going to make sense because it's crazy. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be easy because you might just have to be bold and step out and do it. And I'm not going to promise that it's always going to work out because you have to step into that knowing that God has called me to do that. He hasn't called me to be comfortable or to be easy. He's called me to do it. And I need you to understand that stepping out is going to be a good thing because not following God's instruction is sin. Not doing what you need to do. And that all comes back to faith. It's trusting God, having the courage to do it, and knowing that he is there. That when you get to those moments when you're like, oh, okay, I'm three steps out here, and the waves start to come, Jesus can stand up and say, shut up to all the storms around you. He is in control. Just keep following him. Stay on that path. So, some things I want you to think about here. Maybe God has spoken to you. And this is just a generic list just to try to find you where you are, to find me where I am. God has spoken. And again, I'm not sure what God is telling me to do. I'm not sure whether I should do this. A looks good. B looks good. They're both kind of a good thing. This has got some problems. I'm not talking about those unknowns. That's for another day. I'm talking about those moments where you know God has said, I need to do this. So Jesus has spoken. God has spoken. So do you need to be doing some things? First of all, do you need to be acting? Is there something that you need to act on? God has said to do it, and I don't mean acting like play acting, like wearing a mask and being, drama, comedy, whatever. I'm saying, is there something you need to act? It is time to stop messing around and time to do. You've been delaying doing it. I'm not sure. No, act. Do you need to be acting on something that God has told you to do? Maybe you need to be speaking. Is there something that you know you need to say to someone else and you've been holding back? Because it might hurt them. It might hurt you. But you know God has said you need to say something about that. You need to speak to that person. Coworker, family member, friend, whatever. Maybe there's something you need to be speaking. And you're holding back because you're afraid. And I say, step out in faith. If God has told you to do it, do it. Maybe there's something that you need to be quitting. You've been doing something and doing it and doing it and doing it. And it's time to stop. And you know that it's time to stop. But stopping might have other consequences. Stopping might cause you to lose a job. It might cause you to lose respect. It might cause you to lose friends. You need to quit something that you have been doing. Maybe you need to be serving. Maybe you know that you need to get involved. You need to serve in some way. There's maybe in your family, it's time to step up. There's something you need to do to serve your family. And you've been holding back. Because it's inconvenient, or because it's hard, or because other people in your family will look weird at you. Maybe at work, there's someone you need to serve at work, or at school, you need to step up and serve them. Maybe here at MC3, you're like, well, I think God has told me to, but I'm afraid. Kids smell funny. Like, no, maybe it's time to start serving, to get involved and stop sitting back and waiting. Step out in faith and watch God use you. Maybe you need to start committing. Maybe even fooling around in kind of a loose relationship. Friendly, good kind of thing, but not really going anywhere. Maybe it's time you commit and say, you know what, let's get married. Maybe that's the commitment you need to make. Maybe it's a commitment that you have to your job where you're kind of wishy-washy and you're like, well, I might come and work. I might not. Maybe it's time to commit and say, I'm going to do this. Maybe to church. Maybe, you're here today and you've bounced to like 18 different churches over the last 4 months. Maybe it's time to commit because we're all not perfect. None of us are perfect. And there might be a better church for you than here. I can probably guarantee that. But maybe it's time just to commit and say, you know what? God has called me to do this, so I'm going to do it. Maybe there's time you need to be selling something. There's something that you have you need to give up and get rid of because it's holding you back. Maybe it's a financial thing. There's something that you've got and you need to sell it because it's holding you back because it's sucking up your time, taking away whatever. Maybe it's something you need to sell because you need to give that money to someone else because there's a friend or a person that you know that has a need. Maybe it's time you need to do that. Get rid of that thing and you're afraid to because you're like, if I do that, people will look at me weird. If they think you're crazy, then that's probably okay. If God has called you to do it. Maybe there's something you need to be leaving. Maybe you are connected to something. And it's time for you to get out of that. Maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship. Now, let me clarify that by saying, I am not saying if you are married, God is calling you to leave. But maybe you're in an unmarried relationship that is unhealthy and you need to leave. Maybe you have a work relationship, a partnership with someone that is unhealthy and it is time to leave that, to get out. So maybe there's something that you need to be leaving. Maybe there's something you need to be continuing. You've kind of stopped doing something that you were, you know, whether you were involved, it was not a sin issue, maybe just your personal relationship with Jesus in terms of prayer. Maybe it's time to start continuing to do something. Well, if I start spending time in prayer, I'm going to have to get up early. Step out in faith. Maybe there's something that you used to do in your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, and you were really committed to that, and then it kind of drifted away. Maybe it's time to start continuing that. Get back to where God has called you to be. Maybe you need something you need to continue to be giving. I'm sorry, what is it? Do you need to be giving? There we go. Do you need to be giving? Maybe you're holding on because like, oh, I don't know. I can't afford to give that away. Whether that's your money or your time. You're holding on to it and it's time to give because God says I can do that. Well, but if I give, then what about, how am I going to pay? I'm going to need to feed my family. If God has called you to do it, step out and do it and He will provide. He's got it in control. Maybe there's something you need to be starting. Has God put something on your mind or your heart and like, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but you're just unwilling to do that because you're afraid, because you're not sure what's going to happen next. Maybe it's time to step out and start that thing, whatever that thing is. Maybe there's something that you need to be going. Maybe you need to be going. God has called you to I don't know, serve in Oaxaca. And you're like, oh, I can't do that. It's unsafe. I'm not sure about flying. I don't know. If God is calling you to do it, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to be going somewhere else. Maybe there's something that is holding you here because you like Mifflin County, but you know God is calling you to go do something else, somewhere else. Maybe that's what you need to be doing is going. And, maybe you're just staying because it's more comfortable to be here. Maybe, finally, there's something that you need to be sticking. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. You're like, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm done with this marriage. I'm out. I'm tired of this job. Tired of this church. Tired of those people. Tired of this family. Tired of these kids. And maybe God is calling you. No, stick it out. Stick it out. If God is calling you to do that, then stick it out and watch Him come through. Step out in faith. So, again, I don't know where those hit you. Maybe none of them. That's cool, too. But just to get us thinking, what is it that God is calling us to do? Because we need to be willing to act. Because faith is the way back to courage.